Well, tonight is October 31st. It's a holiday known as, anyone know? Raise your hand if you don't know. I don't see too many hands. Halloween. As almost all of us understand, this holiday has strong roots in paganism. There might be some new members here that don't know too much about Halloween, but history proves that the connection with this worship of the enemy we know as Satan is involved with this holiday. It glorifies the dark things of the world rather than light of Jesus Christ and our great God. And we recently celebrated the Holy Days, as we heard, a tremendous map and direction for us from Mr. Garrett, and how wonderful that was, what we've been seeing, reading, and learning there at the feast. And then we come back, and it's always been kind of a downer to me after we've had so many opportunities, 3 or 4 weeks, to share what we've participated with at the feast with the brethren wherever we went. We have to dive back in and get back into this world. We've been seeing, reading, and hearing about the last few weeks of the millions of children and adults, not just in this country, but in other countries, that are going to be taking part in Halloween. CNN, in a report, Halloween by the Numbers, says, this is by Amy Roberts, by the way, has it that 64% of Americans alone plan to celebrate Halloween tonight. So they're going to be busy unless it starts to rain again, including over 41 million potential trick-or-treaters ages 5 to 14. I saw a question on TV a few days ago, how old do you have to be to trick-or-treat? I think someone said, well, 55, so I'm over that hump. I don't have to do that then. The average amount spent on candy, costumes, and decorations and other items, $93 each, is what people are paying. So if you have a big family, you have to lay out a lot of money for Halloween. And that's according to the Statistic Brain Research Institute. So during the celebration, these millions of children and adults even dress up in these costumes. They parade through the neighborhoods, knocking on doors and say those familiar words, trick or treat. And if you don't answer, they keep laying on the buzzer until you either answer or you've had all the lights turned out on the front of your house, as we normally do, and people don't think we're there, so they just go on to another place. So, but they're expecting to receive candy or some sort of gift. But is Halloween something true Christians should celebrate, even a little bit? And this is a crowd that I think knows the answer, and probably if I asked, almost everyone would answer it correctly. But many of you have studied this subject, perhaps as you learned about God's church, or if you had been raised in God's church, you've learned about it. I don't think it'll be a waste of time, though, to rehearse just some of the things you may already know about this subject regarding Halloween. And just maybe you'll learn a little bit of something that you haven't heard in case you're called to justify that plain truth about this dastardly holiday called Halloween. First, we know that although Halloween professes to be a Christian holiday, it's anything but Christian. This custom was celebrated by pagan world centuries before the New Testament church was even founded, and it was not brought in to the professing Christian world until centuries after the deaths of the apostles. So it was brought in. In fact, if you search the Bible from the first page to the last, you're not going to find anything supporting Halloween. Quite the contrary, God condemns such practices, as you have seen already on the television or have witnessed throughout your life regarding Halloween. It's an amazing contradiction of Christian terms and ancient pagan religious rites. It's just unbelievable. Even with the advances in technology our society has made, man still hangs on to the ignorance of the past. He can't let it go. Because of this, so many in this country and elsewhere celebrate ancient superstitions by participating in all kinds of pagan rites, dressing up as witches, goblins, ghosts, skeletons, demons, and even suits now that are invisible. I don't know if you saw that on TV, but they have a suit now that's completely black, completely, you can't see it. if they're walking around and there's no lights. There is some claim that you could be run over by a car. I don't think that you should purchase and use that suit. I'm sure there will be some suits soon regarding that new thing that they wear for Halloween. Well, the Bible gives us stern warnings for us to have absolutely nothing to do with such occult observances. In fact, it's called idolatry, flat out. John says, 1 John 5:21, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols." So, what has been done in this country is called syncretism. Most of you know that. Collins English Dictionary, 2003, defines syncretize to combine or attempt to combine the characteristic teachings, beliefs, or practices of differing systems of religion or philosophy. So when it comes to the holidays that many keep, they reconcile, they unite, they merge, they coexist, different and opposing principles to come up with supporting how they support these holidays. There's no doubt where the Bible stands, but against this type of belief system, brethren. There's a good article by Dr. Pete Bertolaro. He's a PhD at Fresno, California, and he's also written on the pagan aspects of Christmas and his reasons why Christians should not celebrate Halloween. This was in October 2014. Quoting, "Because of the Celtic pagan belief systems, symbols, rituals, and practices that undergird the satanic Wiccan festival of Halloween, our Christian forefathers banned the observance in America. By 1845, due to the multiplied thousands of Irish immigrants flooding New York Harbor because of the potato famine, the Celtic celebration finally overpowered the public censor and took root as part of the American culture." And I know many of you have read that before 1845, it was outlawed in this country. 1 Kings 12:53, in the evil king Jeroboam sought to replace the sacred dates of the Jews with his own occult holiday. He chose October 14th or 15th as his holiday, as that new high holy festival. And some believe it's this festival that was the origin of the later Celtic fire festivals. So it's very interesting about what those that were leading that country at the time did to pull away those from trying to live God's true way. Christian renditions of this pagan holiday surfaced and grew in popularity and social acceptance. After all, it was just harmless fun, it goes here from this article. Games combined with a little mischief, just a little mischief. And so a major occult, pagan, and satanic festival honoring the devil, darkness, and demons became the holiday of choice among Christians. Today, Halloween has become a major holiday among Western peoples. There's a lot of historical material on Halloween, if only those who keep it would take an honest look at it, but I think they're out there having too much fun. There's too much happening, so much to get into. In the Middle Ages, there was a great revival of satanic practices, witchcraft, and magic, like there is today, if you just watch and see what's happening. During that time, the belief came to be that witches traveled on broomsticks to the Black Sabbath to worship Satan. They were guided by spirits in the form of black cats. The Druids worshiped cats, believing them to be reincarnated evil people. The festival of death has survived all of the efforts of various Christian churches, this article goes on, to stamp it out. Some of today's churches actually join the opposition by celebrating this festival. I'm sure you've seen the sign up the street from you and a Protestant or some church, "Come to our fall festival. Come be safe." At least perhaps it's maybe safer than what's going on the streets. The bottom line is that Halloween has been so deluding that many parents don't even realize all the symbolism there is to trick-or-treating, wearing of costumes, decorating with jack-o'-lanterns, and the rest that goes with evil holiday. And we'll look a little more about that shortly. It's tonight that occultists around the world will give most honor to Satan, praying to him intensely for the fall of the church. And most of us don't realize that there are occultists out there, not just little kids who think it's a good chance to get a piece of candy, but there are actually those out there that want to destroy the Christian church, and I mean our church, as well as to do in those in professing Christians. It's the biggest day in the life of a Satanist. It's not an innocent holiday, brethren. It's certainly not. The historical roots of Halloween began long before the birth of Christ, as I mentioned, among the Canaanite peoples and later the Celtic peoples of Spain, France, Germany, Britain, Ireland, and Scotland. Their religion was a form of paganism whose priests were known as Druids. Druid comes from the word dar, D-A-U-R, and it means oak tree or oak grove. The Druids got their name from their reverence for nature and worship of the oak tree, as well as their frequenting groves of trees, sites where they carried out their rites and festivals. Perhaps that's why Druids came to be called men of oak, or similar. John Ankenberg and John Weldon have co-authored a booklet entitled The Facts of Halloween, written in 2008, and here's what their comment. These Celtic people lived in northern France and in the British Isles. They engaged in occult arts, worshiped nature, and gave it a supernatural animistic quality. Certain trees or plants such as oak and mistletoe were given great spiritual significance. According to a Celt authority, Lewis Spence, the original meaning of the term Druid implies a priest of the oak cult. Dr. Bert Tolero writes in his Reasons Why Christians Should Not Celebrate Halloween, such practices were ancient and can be traced back to the Canaanite peoples in biblical times. This also explains why the words grove and trees or tree frequently come up with God addressed or rebuked the Israelites for prostituting themselves to those other forbidden pagan religions. The NIV says that groves were called Asherah poles. I'm sure you've read about that. Asherah was the name of the consort or wife of the chief Canaanite god El, E-L. Speaking of God's people, Hosea quotes the Lord in his book, chapter 4, verse 13. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills, under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. The Celtic religion had their priests. I mentioned the Druids. Many forms of perversion, were practiced to appease their many gods and goddesses that they had. They had so many of them. The Caesars in history, and you know from what you've studied in school that the Caesars were certainly not angels by any stretch, but when they were conquering Europe, one was shocked at his discovery of the satanic rituals of these Druids. It shocked him. He wrote in his journal, "They offer up men, women, and children to their gods, or vow to sacrifice themselves. They believe that mortal man's life can be redeemed and the immortal gods appeased by human sacrifice. They hold fixed ceremonies for this purpose." And that even shocked these Caesars at the time. Brethren, October 31st, then, is the most important day of the satanic year. It's long been known as the Festival of the Dead. These Celtic tribes and their Druid priests celebrated this day as a marker for the change from life to death. It was the end of the growing season, so it became the Festival of Death. Their new year began through this Festival of the Death. November 1st, October 31st, the Celtic New Year's Eve, was set aside to worship their god, Samhain, or Samhain, the god of the dead. At this time, the god of the Celtics was to have called up the spirits of the wicked dead who had died during the past year. And at the same time, other evil spirits arose and went about the countryside harassing the people. But who is this Lord of the Dead, and who's honored at this Festival of the Dead? Shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus was questioned by the Sadducees about the concept of the resurrection, if you'll turn to Matthew 22. It was in order to show that there will be a future resurrection from the dead. Let's see what it says in Matthew 22, verse 31 and 32. Matthew 22, 31, 32. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So it's important for us to see what Jesus meant by these words. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. The Sadducees, to whom Jesus was speaking, did not believe in the resurrection, as you might recall. The point Jesus here was making was that although these patriarchs were dead at that time, they're going to live again. They're going to be resurrected. They're going to be with God's people. The men were dead, but they were as good as alive, because they would be alive. God's promise is that their resurrection is sure. Romans 4 now. Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 17. Romans 4, verse 17 says, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls these things which do not exist as though they did. So with understanding, Jesus' words were taking on a greater meaning. They take on greater meaning, don't they? The God of the Bible is the God of the living, those that are living now and those that will be living in the future, not the God of the dead. So to worship the true God, we should not celebrate rites that are dedicated to the dead. In no way should we be involved in that. However, among the heathen Druids, Samhain is the Lord of the dead, and that Lord is none other, as if you don't know by now, it's Satan himself. Therefore, when people celebrate the dead, they unknowingly honor and celebrate Satan, the devil. So the heathen who thought they were worshiping the true God were actually serving demons. People today who dress up in weird costumes and demand trick-or-treat aren't serving the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But without knowing it, although some do, many do not, they're serving the God of this world who has blinded them. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. So at this time, God has not opened their minds. So what about this God Samhain? It's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N. You wouldn't think that it would be Samhain when it's spelled that way, but it is. And the Feast of Samhain in the honor of Satan, Dr. Bertello, what's this? Here's what he writes. The official name given to it by the Druids was the Vigil and the Feast of Samhain. Samhain literally means end of summer. Sam for end, Hain, H-A-I-N, summer. This is why Halloween was also known as the Day of Death. The coming of Samhain was prepared for and celebrated beginning on October 31st. As he says, which is the Vigil of Samhain, followed on November 1st with the Feast of Samhain. Isn't it amazing how Satan copies the truth? We just came back from the feast, and how he copies, changes, manipulates, redefines God's truth and sells it to mankind. Samhain is found in the ancient fertility rituals to the demon gods, Baal and Molech, spoken of so often in the Old Testament. You can check out Jeremiah 19:5 and 32:35 when you'd like. There are traditional rituals in these fire festivals, including the choosing and sacrificing of homecoming queens. I bet you didn't realize what would happen to homecoming queens back that many hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Alexander Hislop, in his book, The Two Babylons, page 232, says, the god whom the Druids worshipped was Baal, as the blazing Baal fire show. We know that they offered human sacrifices. We have evidence that they made their children pass through the fire to Molech, and that makes it highly probable that they also offered them in sacrifice, for we find that these two things were part of one and the same. I'm not going to go further in reading from his book about these horrible pagan rituals. You can study that when you would like. So these days of Soan, October 31st, November 1st, they're tied together, were regarded as the best time of the year to practice divination. What better time would there be? Magical rituals and interpreting signs and omens in order to see into the future. The Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, volume 12, says, "It was a druidic belief that on the eve of this festival, Soan, Lord of Death, called together the wicked souls and within the past 12 months had been condemned to inhabit the bodies of animals." So it was during this time of the year that Celts believed that ghosts of the dead were able to mingle with the living. They were just out there passing through and being with the living. The souls of those who had died during the year traveled into the underworld. People gathered to sacrifice animals, fruits, vegetables. On that day, all manner of beings were abroad, ghosts, fairies, demons, all parts of the dark and dread. Sounds like what you see when you open your door, if you were to, this evening. But what about Halloween today? Here's what Jack Santino says from the American Folklife Center Library of Congress. "Today, Halloween is becoming once again an adult holiday or masquerade like Mardi Gras. Men and women in every disguise imaginable are taking to the streets of big American cities and parading past grinningly carved, candlelit jack-o'-lanterns, reenacting customs with a lengthy pedigree. Their masked antics challenge, mock, tease, and appease the dread forces of the night, of the soul, and of the other world that becomes our world on this night of reversible possibilities, inverted roles, transcendency. In so doing, they are reaffirming death in its place as a part of life, an exhilarating celebration of a holy and magic evening." I know when I was a child, before I even knew anything about God's church, Halloween was something special. My parents didn't know about it in depth, but we really enjoyed getting out and doing Halloween and getting into mischief too, I might add, as I recall, but I won't go into detail. So we can see that the history of Halloween has nothing good to be said for it. But what about the elements of the Halloween, the many things that little ones take part in and adults as well? Let's take a look and see what some of these meanings that they have are. Have you ever wondered about the colors of Halloween? It's not pink or light gray or something like that. It's black. It's orange. And now, there's certainly nothing wrong with those colors. Not surprisingly, even the orange and black colors of Halloween have wicked origins. At the Druid festivals for Soan, those huge bonfires that were used for offering sacrifices, the colors of the night were what? Orange flames glowing in the dark, as you see here. The symbols of Halloween are blackness and darkness. These are the symbols of Satan, as you understand. God is light. There is no darkness in him, as it says in 1 John 1, verse 5. So does the symbolism around this holiday show us what God would appreciate? Does the holiday, with its dark symbolism, seem like something God will accept? Not at all. Not at all. What about bobbing for apples? Certainly nothing seems sinister about the old custom of bobbing for apples in a split barrel of water. Well, brethren, guess again. In AD 43, the Roman Empire was in solid control of the Celtic people. That evil people that they had control of. As a result of this control, the idol-worshipping Romans introduced another ceremony honoring their false gods to the already demoniacal Druid New Year celebration that was already full of evil. They just added more. It was in honor of their goddess of fruit trees. They would try to grasp fruit floating in water without the use of their hands. If you've ever tried it, it's a little hard to do. This is called, and the origin of bobbing for apples. This was according to the Atlantic Journal the Atlanta Journal and Constitution, Associated Press, I quoted as of October 16, 1977. Again, those who practiced fortune-telling and divination found that Halloween was the night that they had the most success. They called upon Satan to bless their efforts. One form of divination was to put apples in a tub and bob for them. The one who first successfully came up with an apple without putting it in his teeth was to have good luck throughout the year. They would then peel the apple and throw the peeling over their shoulder and quickly look around. They expected to see a vision or apparition or an apparition of the one they were going to marry. So I hope that none of you tried to figure out who your future wife would be by doing this, but some have. Apple bobbing probably has been associated also from the Roman festival of Pomona, the goddess of the fruit and trees. The festival was merged with the festival of Samhain, as I mentioned above. Rome conquered Britain at that time, so it is said that in honor of Samhain, subjects were forced to bob for apples in boiling hot water. Those who lived through the ordeal were set free. So it's more than just a little kiddie bit of fun, isn't it? In some witchcraft covens, the closing ritual includes eating an apple or engaging in fertility rites. You know, in the Bible, Genesis 3, eating a piece of fruit brought sin and death into the world, as you know, and you remember about Adam and Eve. In witchcraft, eating an apple is symbolic of bringing life. Bringing life. The practice of bobbing for apples brings together two pagan traditions, divination and the fertility ritual. Unquote. Go to Deuteronomy 18 now, if you would. It's clear from the scriptures that Christians should not be involved with the occult practices that we're seeing here and that of divination. God commands against divination here in Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 through 13. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 through 13. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, shall not learn to follow the abominations of these nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Fairly clear in God's word, isn't it? Black cats, black cats. Lots of black cats on Halloween. I'm sure you have seen pictures of that all for many, many years since you started remembering these things. In the 1959 edition of the World Book Encyclopedia under Halloween, it was noted that Druid priests believed that cats were once human beings but were reincarnated as punishment for evil deeds. Because of this, they held cats sacred and involved them in their idol worship of October 31st and November 1st, coincidentally. The American Book of Days, third edition by Jane Hatch, says, even after Christianity spread to Europe, oxen were sacrificed on October 31st, and medieval Europe black cats were chosen as victims in the belief that they were witches in disguise and were burned on that day of Halloween. The black cat was believed by the Druids to be evil spirit friends of witches, and even witches themselves. So they thought even the cats were witches. These cats were often kept in wicker cages and burned in animal sacrifices. Also, the priest had the ability to define the future through them. So a lot of evil going on with the way black cats were perceived. It's plain that that these cats were thought of to represent evil, terrible evil. Also, they were a symbol of the reincarnation. Dr. Bertolero shares, he has an article in his file that says the Humane Society will not release black cats around this time of year in fear of what might become of them. I know I had a black cat years ago, and it didn't bother me at all. I didn't mind that it was black. I love the little cat. Maybe I should have taken a second look if I had have understood or misunderstood what Halloween was all about. If any black cat has ever crossed your path, I know my mother at one time was fairly afraid of those type of things. It never bothered me, thankfully. What about other animals? The pagan Druid priest taught the immortality of the soul that is passed from one body to another at death. It's not like what God explains in the scripture. They believe that on the last night of the old year, the Lord of Death gathered together the souls of all those who had died in the passing year and had been condemned to live in the bodies of animals to decree what forms they should inhabit for the next 12 months. The priest could be coaxed to give the lighter sentence by gifts and prayers. A little trick-or-treating by the priests themselves. And then, of course, as we've mentioned, there are witches. Some witches are worshipers of the spirits of the earth. They believe that the whole earth is the giver of life, not that God is, and has power to give and take away life from humans. Either way, God does not condone, obviously, the worship of earth spirits. In the Middle Ages, there were great revival of satanic practices, witchcraft, and magic like there seems to be today. If you watch the news this morning, the last few days on the major news stations, all of the moderators and the presenters are anxious and are dressing up as witches and you name it. Yesterday at my office, I could have had my pick of all of the witches and everything that they were dressing up on the contest of who can look the worst, the ugliest, the meanest, and the most druidic. And I don't know who the winner will be. I'm not involved in the judging, thankfully, for that. So witches are worshipers of Satan, and they are an abomination to God. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead." So the question is, why would anyone who claims to be God-fearing Christian want to dress up their child or themselves as something like that? And so many Christians, so-called, do. You'll be hard-pressed to find many Christians on your block, friends that you know, that don't believe in Halloween and dressing up in so many evil costumes. Quoting a former high priest in the Celtic tradition of Wicca, Tom Sanguinet, in his book In the Truth About Halloween, he said, "Halloween is purely and absolutely evil, and there's nothing we ever have or will do that would make it acceptable to the Lord Jesus." So there are some people that have understood this. They finally cracked the book of the Bible and looked into it and started to understand, as many as we have, when we started looking into the scripture. There's no doubt then that witches and Satanists love Halloween. Boy, it's their night of the year. They get a lot of media coverage about this time, as I mentioned, so much PR. That coverage usually puts them in a favorable light. A lot of laughing and giggling and everything in the news shows this week. It generates interest in the craft, and it's good for recruitment purposes. We don't often think about that, but there's recruitment going on through the things that people see on TV. And you know from everything that's happened in the last weeks and months and years how impressionists we are impressed as we read these things and get interested in these things, hopefully not us. Craig Hawkins from the Christian Research Journal put it this way in 1990, "With increasing vigor, witchcraft is coming out of the broom closet. Many witches are actively seeking public understanding and acceptance." Peter Haining, as an art-illustrated history of witchcraft, states this in his presentation of 1976, "The witch is without doubt one of the most enduring figures in superstition and literature. Whether portrayed as an aged crone astride a broomstick," well, she's holding the broomstick here, she's not yet riding it, "she can be found in carvings of antiquity or the columns of today's newspapers. Since the Middle Ages, writings have shown her as an enemy of humanity, a solitary being able to compact with the devil to work all manner of supernatural powers. And you might recall the first famous witch in history is the Witch of Endor in 1 Samuel 28. It relates how King Saul went to her in an effort to get in touch with the dead prophet of God, Samuel. He was unsuccessful in that, but what he saw was an apparition. He needed a device on how to defeat the Philistines. He should have known better. Exodus 22:18 prescribed being a witch as a capital crime punishable by death. Again, Deuteronomy 18:9 warned that God's children were to have nothing to do with the occult. Go to Acts 19, if you would, Acts 19. Even in the New Testament, it lists practitioners of witchcraft as being excluded from God's kingdom. So if you are a practitioner and you not repent and change your way and go the other way, you're just not going to be in the kingdom. Acts 19 tells a story of Jewish exorcists who were trying to use the power that was granted to Paul. They were overpowered by evil spirits. Acts 19, verse 17. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, a total 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So this was happening back then. Luke was writing about what people did about their involvement in the occult. And when they came to understand Christ as their Savior, many believed in Christ and they confessed what they had done and they turned their way and they abandoned their evil practices. Many of them also, which use books, explain the occult. Have you ever used a book to learn how to fix a computer or do something? Well, there's books that were available on how to become a witch. They brought them and burned them. Since a piece of silver was a day's wage back in that day, 50,000 pieces of silver could have been $500,000 or $1 million now. So these books brought a hefty piece of change as they were being thrown in the fire. And this was not some small-time group of witches and occultists. These were heavy, big-time folks. Witchcraft, Wiccans say, is not a reaction to Christianity, but pagan worship of the Mother Goddess, as she's called, and her consort, the Horned God. They claim they don't even acknowledge Satan, so they'll even say, we don't know who Satan is. Satan's not involved. Dr. Bertolaro says, quoting an Alexandrian Wiccan, witch, who clarified by stating, as I got to the higher degree, I learned that the name of the horn god was Lucifer. I learned that the sign of the second degree was an inverted pentagram symbolizing the horns of Satan. So Dr. Bertolaro says, the witches like to make a distinction between themselves and Satanists. There really is no distinction, biblically speaking. They might play little word games masking the connection between Lucifer and Satan, but the power behind Satanism and witchcraft is the same Satan formerly called Lucifer before his rebellion against God and the demonic hordes. So what about scary masks? Have you ever seen scary masks on sale at Walgreens or... I don't want to leave any of the other stores out. Many, many different stores. Well, they were worn by the Celts to scare away evil spirits. At that time, Druid priests wore masks so that they would not be recognized and attacked by evil spirits. Like an evil spirit couldn't tell what the person was underneath the mask. I guess they just thought they could. Some believe that spirits would leave you alone if you tricked them by dressing up to look like them. And then, of course, another shot of some of these interesting, lovable masks. Trick or treat. Trick or treat. For many children, Halloween is an evening of masquerading, going from door to door, tricking and treating. For some, it may be a relatively innocent type of activity, but for others, it's not. It's not innocent. It's an evening when morals, modesty, restraints are thrown out the window. All types of wild parties going on, innocent trick-or-treat adventures are in the minimum, and children should not be allowed to do it. practices involving in Halloween also are found in Mexico in the book Adonis by Fraser. The practice of Halloween is clearly identified not only by its date, but also by its symbolism and rituals. The Mixtecs of Mexico believed that the dead came back in the 12th month of the year, which corresponded to our November, by the way. On this day of All Souls, the houses were decked out to welcome the spirits. Jars of food and drink were set on the table in the spirit room, and the family went out with the torches to meet the ghost and invite them to enter. Here's the trick-or-treat. Then, returning to the house, they knelt around the table and, with their eyes bent on the ground, prayed the souls accept their offering. Occultists who taught the spirits and ghosts left the grave during the night and would seek out warmth in their previous homes. Villagers, fearful of the possibility of being visited by the ghost of past occupants, would dress up in costumes to scare the spirits on their way. Lots of costumes. They would also leave food and other treats at their door to appease the spirits so they would not destroy their homes or crops, but instead move on down the road. That's what I hope they do at my house tonight, move on down the road. That is the real reason why kids dress up in costumes today and go door to door seeking treats. Trick-or-treating might have found its origin in the customs of peasants going house to house begging for money to purchase necessities for a feast for Muk-Ola. Some say this was the Druid sun god. However, the name Muk-Ola also refers to the boogeyman, sort of a legend told in England about in around the 1300s. A blessing was promised to generous givers, while treats were often made to those who were stingy. They would get the threats and the tricks. The present-day practice for trick-or-treat is nothing but a continuation of those terrible, absurd customs that we've been reading about today and that you've studied about. It came right out of paganism. Halloween encourages wrong by suggesting that if you don't get what you demand, you're justified in causing harm and damage. You know, there's probably almost as much tricking as treating among certain parties when they go out. Such a belief goes totally against the scriptures. The word trick itself carries with it a tragic, sometimes deadly meaning. Webster defines trick as something designed to swindle. So they're not just tricking to get a treat. There could be some swindling going on, some bad things. Well, what better can be found to show the methods employed by the devil, who is the greatest swindler of all time, the number one? The big sign on the post office bulletin board would be him. The devil, the masterful trickster, is one who transforms himself in an angel of light. His ministers are also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, those whose end shall be according to their works. That's in 2 Corinthians 11. The devil's clever trick is to make believe that he doesn't exist. What a trick that is. I don't exist. I'm not there. But here's some things that I'd like you to do. Let me just show you what fun that you can have tonight as the sun sets. The devil's, it's really a trick. He's doing the tricks. Satan hides behind a mask. People picture him as a red man with horns and a tail, something harmless to joke about. Saw on TV this week, a lady was being interviewed from her car window by one of the newsmen. She said, you know, we have to be careful about this dry ice, this hot ice. We're going to have our cauldrons. It's going to be full and it's going to be overflowing, but you got to be careful with that dry ice. It might actually hurt one of our children. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now, regarding costumes, what goes with trick-or-treat and masks that are worn as that of costumes? Some thought they were wearing frightening costumes that would scare away evil spirits, as we mentioned. Have you ever noticed how costumes and masks are getting more bloody, gory, depraved each year? Evil things that you hate to look at. It's just so sad that the gruesome and grotesque and occult are increasingly glorified in our society, not only on Halloween, but throughout the year in horror movies and in that type of thing, cable programs. Samhain would send evil spirits to attack people on the eve before the November 1st celebration. The only way these people could escape was by assuming disguises and looking like evil spirits themselves. So if you can't beat them, join them. It's clear that, and very sad to see that so many were superstitious idol worshipers who refused the glory of the true God. Romans 1, if you would, Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 21. Romans 1, verse 21. Because they, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So no Christian that understands and wants to truly obey God can take part in these things. Not at all. Even in the tamed down modern customs that grew out of these wicked rites. Romans 13:12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light," not darkness. So, jack-o'-lanterns, what's the part in the jack-o'-lanterns, the significance, harmless thing, and plus you get some pie that you can make out of it once you do this. In the World Book Encyclopedia, 1977 edition, volume 9, page 24, it says, "The apparent harmless lighted pumpkin face of jack-o'-lantern is an ancient symbol of a damned soul." There were other purposes of the jack-o'-lantern, according to author Owen Ratcliffe in his book, The Occult of the Deceit, 1971. The candlelit turnip or skull, they didn't always use jack-o'-lanterns, they used turnips, a little smaller, but I was looking on the internet today for another picture of what a turnip is. Has anyone ever seen a turnip jack-o'-lantern? Well, I found one, and it is scary. This one is left over from about 1900. I don't know what they did to keep it, but it is frightening. It makes these look like angels, depending on what they did with the turnip. The candlelit turnip or skull served as a beacon for a signal to mark those farms and homes that were sympathetic to Satanists and thus deserving of mercy when the terror of the night, meaning Halloween, began. As they went, the druids carried these large turnips, which they had hollowed out and carved in demon faces and charms. Each one was believed to contain the demon spirit that personally led or guided the priest. That priest. In other words, he had a little god with him, a little god for protection. Bonfires. Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with roasting weenies on the campfire, having a party, having a bonfire. I've been to many of those, and they're very fun. A lot of good times there. Nice evenings. We all know that. But what about the bonfires of the ancient Celts? I don't think they were as nice. They're a bit different. On October 31st, the Celts expected to be harassed by ghosts and evil spirits, demons, and it was no fun and games to them. They would light bonfires to guide the spirits to their own town and ward off evil spirits. Encyclopedia Britannica says, "Druids would feast and build huge bonfires to celebrate the sun god and thank him for the food that the land had produced." In an article published by the Jeremiah Project, 1996 through 98, the connection between Canaanite gods and Celts is clearly made. It reads, "The term bonfire comes to the words bone, fire, and points to the bones of sacrificed animals, and worse, which were piled in a field with timber and set ablaze. Sacrificing would be offered to the gods on the fires." Well, brethren, God's word condemns such pagan practices. The Bible says much about the practices from which modern Halloween festivities are taking place. You wouldn't think so when you hear the lighthearted talk about it, or when you see the products that are sold, millions of dollars are made by the candy manufacturers and those that create costumes. The nation of Israel was specifically warned against the very same practices that are part of today's modern Halloween. Deuteronomy 12, you'll turn there, Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29 through 32. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you're not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. Brethren, this society has added so much to God's truth and taken away that which is true. Jeremiah 10:2, thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed by them. It's dismaying when they see the bonfires. It's dismaying when they see these things. 2 Kings 17:17, if you'd like to go there. 2 Kings 17:17. What happened, brethren? They did not obey. 2 Kings 17:17 through 18. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practice witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. And there are definite commands, brethren, not just for these ancients, but for us, the church of God. Ephesians 5:11, if you'll turn there. Ephesians 5:11. Commands for us today. Ephesians 5, verse 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14 says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Get away from it. 2 Corinthians 6, 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So the Bible gives some serious, stirring warnings for Christians to have absolutely nothing to do with this. I'm not saying to be afraid of it. I'm not saying to run from it. But turn away from it. Turn away. Turn away. It's called idolatry. We use that term syncretism today. Certainly, we can have no part in these things, brethren. But we always must remember 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So that trick-or-treat concept implies the threat of force and violence. To teach children attitudes and concepts is completely uncharacteristic of our great God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 22 now. Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Matthew 22:36. Talking about the law, the great map, one of the maps of our salvation that we heard from Mr. Garrett. Matthew 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to you, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So these practices are contrary to that law, and God says we should take no part of them. The world says we don't take it seriously. It's no big deal. It's fun. There's no payment to pay. But Satan does, and so does God. It is, in fact, an abomination to God that we should take a stand firmly against this and participating in it, which I know we do. So as we looked into history to see the roots, they go deep into heathenism and paganism. Sometimes we just don't want to think about it. It's pretty bad when we look deeply into it. Satanism, the occult, and the modern way is no better, brethren. The modern way that is done harkens back to the way it was done so many years ago. Halloween is the very opposite Christianity. Jesus Christ tells us, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's nothing connected to Halloween that is even remotely Christian. It's the images of death, demons, spirits, ghosts, goblins, mysticism, as we mentioned earlier. All that is totally contrary to God's way, as we know. And we need to understand that Halloween is not just an ancient pagan festival of the past. It's still celebrated by the occult today. It's happening kind of under the covers, so to speak. So what are God's instructions concerning pagan festivals? The Bible clearly condemns such practices. In Exodus 20, God outlined his great moral code, as we read a little bit from, and as we heard that map that we should be following. The first commandment indicates that his children should have no other gods. God even commands his children to abstain from inquiring after other religions. Let's just open the book and see what this religion does or that religious done. I'm just trying to increase my knowledge. It's one thing to do that to teach others, but to fall interest to it is not a good thing. And indicated there would be severe consequences for those failing to obey. Jeremiah 10 now, if you'll turn. As we reach a conclusion, Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 10 through 11. But the Lord is a true God. He is a living God, an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. God does want us to worship him, and that worship must be in spirit and truth, brethren, as you can see in John 4:24. In order for us to properly honor God, he has created specific festivals, which we also heard about earlier today. These festivals outline his plan of salvation, identity, and he is and how he will accomplish his purpose for all mankind. We recently returned from refreshing, invigorating, uplifting Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day. We have other holy days that are commanded assemblies, as was mentioned, such as Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Trumpets, Day of Atonement. What wonderful days there are. I was talking to my wife as we returned from Estes Park, how fulfilling and just magnificent it was to be there in the great mountains of the Rockies and enjoying the feast. These great feasts were designed personally by God, kept by men and women of faith in the Old Testament as well as in as far as Jesus Christ and his knowledge in the New Testament. The book of Acts indicates the early church celebrated these holy days. Zechariah indicated that the time would come when the entire world under Christ's millennial rule will keep his feasts. And we were there at the feast this year, those that could go to enjoy such a wonderful opportunity to hear God's word spoken. So we need ourselves to not forget the truth about Halloween. We've known many of us for decades and decades what I've spoken today. Hope not too many of you took a nap, but that maybe you learned a little bit. The trick that has been played on an unsuspecting world is played by Satan. God's world tells us that the time will come when Jesus Christ will rule the entire earth, and the knowledge of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, as it says in Isaiah 11, verse 9. In that day, people will honor God's Sabbath and his holy days. Once people begin to celebrate the true holy days, Halloween will be remembered no more as hallowed, but strictly hollow. Godspeed that day.